For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, Nisan Buluvinaka to all of our Fijian listeners and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinidau Arona, and we are going to go deep in the world of rugby union and rugby league from across the Pacific. That was an absolute hiding last night with the Roosters. What about that one?
What an entertaining game. Red, white and blue. Kia ora to all our listeners. And yes, the Roosters got a huge win over the Cowboys, which we'll dive into very shortly. But Sammy, you're over your coaching scenario last weekend. You're a bit frustrated and heated.
I flushed it.
He was even sending me videos clips throughout the week saying, yes, this was not a high tackle, was it? Quite funny, though.
That was good. I thought that was just me and you chat. Now you want to air it out here. What's going on there?
I thought I'd just share, you know, some of the stuff that we get up
nothing
to through
safe
throughout
anymore,
the week.
But I have flushed it. But we do have another game tomorrow, so I'll let you know how I am feeling on Monday.
We also have a big show to cover today. We've got a few people on. We have our usual stars, Sala Tonga Tuki, who just played her 50th NRLW game last weekend. So we'll catch up with her and get a preview of the NRLW this weekend. We've also got big Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani joining us, and I'm going to hit him up throughout our chat on why he did not deliver us the news on the new Drua head coach.
I nearly forgot about that, so I'm glad you brought that up. So hopefully we can get something out of him, because in my mind, it's not good enough.
And then just as you done last week, instead of you covering the rugby union space, you've ordered in some new recruits. And tell us who you've brought in on the show today.
Yes, I've brought in a very good friend of mine. I spent a lot of time putting my shoulder on his bum in the scrums. Pikaho James Morikawen, proud Māori Cook Islander. And he's actually the forwards coach for Manu Samoa, so in the Pacific Nations Cup. He was over there, and I was talking to him last week about what the experience was like, and I was like, hang on, bro, can you save this chat and come on our show for Friday? He goes, absolutely, I'll do anything for you, Wixy. So it's good to have him on and discuss that. But also, just on Samoa as well, there's news coming out of Manu Samoa camp around rugby and the future of rugby union in Samoa, playing in World Cups and having a world international world rugby license. I've been in the competitions, future competitions, due to governments and board issues. So this is going to be a bit of a chat here on that as well, and then hopefully there might be a bit of a resolution next Monday.
Would it be fair to say that the Manu Samoa is like the West Tigers in a rugby union international space, where there's always something going on?
Russ, that has got to be one of your best comparisons you've ever come up with. At a time of seriousness, a time where we need some really good leadership, there's still humor around what's going on, because sometimes if you're not laughing, you're crying. But anyway, we'll unpack a little bit of that, and hopefully we can have someone on next week to dive deep into what's actually going on and with the outcome that's supposed to happen today. But big show planned. Let's rip into it.
Uluvinaka, Teddy Teller here, and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, Sammy, as you mentioned last night, the Sydney Roosters were on fire.
Jeez, Shut the gates.
They made a statement. They put the whole competition on notice. They beat the Cowboys 82 points to 12. 82.
I got home at halftime from training, and it was 48 to 6.
Yep, that was a halftime score.
And then I was like, first half? No, that can't be right. Like, what a statement.
Guess when the last time a team has ever scored over 80 points?
1935.
Where'd you read that?
Oh, when I came in, the commentator said, if they get to 80 points, this will be the first time since 1935. And it was the Roosters as well, wasn't
yes,
it? Yeah, 87 points or something like that.
So, there man, what a game. 14 tries they scored altogether. And Sam Walker, geez, he was like an immortal last night. He kicked 13 out of 14 goals. He scored 3 tries. And he was just everywhere.
Clifford pops it to Nene. Oh, Nene gives to Drinkwater, who drops it. It's been picked up by the Roosters. Ramsey's away. He started with 80 to go. He's got 20 to go. The defence gets to win. Weaves infield. Passes to Walker, backing up. And little Sam is going to finish it off. Sam, I can. Sam, the man.
3 of the 14. And then our man Mark Nawanganitawase on that right wing, scoring 3 tries, running for over 250 metres. There was that one try where it looked like he was carrying 3 blokes over the try line. There was also a fourth that was on the ground trying to tackle him in the first.
No space
after
to work
the first
with.
Contact. And he's just gone, carried them over to score a try in the end goal.
Like, that leg drive was unbelievable. Do we have that audio, actually? Let's have a listen.
A metre out, Robson to the right for Walker. Holds it, gives it to Cherry Evans. Cuts out one to give to Ramsey. Ramsey, a floating ball to Nawanganitawase. Clifford comes. Oh, 3 others come at Markey. But no! There was as many defenders as syllables in his name. But he still scores the try. And it's 62-12. Kick to comes.
And then even one of the other tries where he's intercepted, ran, instead of like trying to guess, I think it was Scott Drinkwater trying to catch him, chase him down. He's kind of slowed down to create space with his palm. And then Scott Drinkwater is obviously unable to bring him down. He's ran over, scored another try. But
do you reckon that was because of early on in the game? I think Sam Walker put that grubber in for him and he wasn't there.
That was a great sign. That was one Sam Walker puts the grubber in.
Yeah.
Mark.
I don't think anyone was going to get
Mark
there to
didn't
get that.
Chase, but he wasn't even in the area. And the reason why, and I thought about this, so Sam Walker blows up. So they, the Cowboys get a 20-meter tap. They get a 7 tackle set. This was very early in the game. And when he's put the kick in, it's gone dead, but Mark didn't chase that on the right edge.
Sam Walker went at it.
He's screaming, going, Mark, Mark, Mark. And then Mark's turned around and he's sort of like blown up at him. And then Mark's just like shook his head. But then since then, that game.
To be able to flush that and not take it personal.
Yeah.
That's true signs of like trust, respect, leadership, and what that team is about at the moment. I loved it that he could flush it. And then they go on and score 82 points.
The other thing was, though, Mark took a carry earlier in that set, which is probably why he was probably trying to get his breath back. But still, as a 24-year-old and Sam Walker as their halfback,
yep,
to be able to feel comfortable to scream and yell and keep players accountable, and you're talking a State of Origin, Winger of the Year in Mark Nawanganitawase, to be able to hold someone, him, accountable at 24 years old, may I see a bright future in Sam Walker.
Absolutely.
He's also playing with Daly Cherry Evans, who is
nearly 40,
who is the veteran in that team. Yep. But to be for DCE to be able to take a step back, go, Sam Walker, you do your thing. We can work it. They're starting to click. I remember watching last night, I remember very early in the year, we're talking about, oh, how's this combination going to work? And I remember saying, it's going to take time. But once they click, good luck trying to contain him.
I thought some of the commentary around DCE, and they're saying, mate, he needs to finish up, and, you know, has this experiment worked? I said, mate, they're sitting second. Like, how can you judge a man just on his age? Like, judge him on his performances. And so far, he's played nearly every single game. Like, he must be the ultimate professional to be able to compete and be able to do a job in there. And then, yeah, put his own sort of accolades and, you know, his DCE, the big presence in the game, to allow Sammy Walker to do his thing. I think they're peaking at the right time.
And he's at the start of greatness.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the players that come through the Roosters system, they walk away with a ring. And, you know, when they went back to back in, was it 18, 19, around that era, a lot of those players, you know, with Cooper Cronk and, you know, James Tedesco, even Daniel Tupou, who's there now, he's got three. Sam Walker knows to etch his name and Roosters history, he needs that ring.
Needs
the and
ring.
You could see he's hungry for it. Hey, so
finally, before we move on from the Roosters, Nafahu White and Spencer, like that front row combination, like last night, they set the tone. Like they are they peaking at the right time as well in terms of that 1-2 punch and getting a really good platform for the backs.
I'd say Nafahu White's one of the best props in the game right now, one of the informed props. And he's going to be cause some damage for the New Zealand Kiwis. And then Spencer's playing his role and being that, you know, bringing impact off the bench, going forward for the team, trying to be that aggressor as well. So, yeah, they are shaping very nicely. Man, with that halftime score, 48-6, it even gave the opportunity for James Tedesco, their captain, to be able
have
to
have a breather.
All right, mate, you get off. You've got a little niggle there. So, no, great win for the Roosters. I just think that they've put the rest of the competition on notice with that huge performance. Now, we do have a few big games ahead. When you're looking at the NRL ladder, it's close. It's very close. And there are a few teams where if they lose, it's going to make it a tough few weeks for them. If they win, they've got that bit of space and breathing room. Now, the Cowboys losing last night have caused some issues with their top eight chances. If the Bulldogs win this week against the Storm, they will then jump into the top eight. Cowboys will drop out of the top eight. So look out for that game, a huge match. And Bulldogs, they are finding some form on the back of their big win last week. But they'll be playing the Storm, who
Melbourne,
very vulnerable, and I think it's an opportunity where the Bulldogs will get their spot after the season, the start that they had to the season as well.
Yeah.
Man, they've found a way to come back. So looking forward to watching that game. And another game, the Rabbitohs, they sit sixth in the NRL ladder with 26 points. And the Sharkies, they're at fourth with 30 points. I think this one will be a very interesting one. If the Rabbitohs lose a game, they find themselves in a vulnerable position at the bottom of that top eight ladder. And the Sharkies, they would want to win to stay away from that pack chasing that top eight or staying in that top eight. So this game will be played in Cronulla. I've got the Sharkies to win. And I think they found some good form, but also got some good momentum.
And Knights will be out some key players, obviously, some of the injuries last week.
Oh, Dylan Brown's huge loss.
That's
but
a big loss.
They do have Kalen Ponga coming back this weekend.
That's handy.
Another important game. They'll be playing the Broncos in Brisbane, but that's sitting at seventh. So the same as the Rabbitohs, where to win, stay in the top eight, you lose, you know, you're going to have to fight even harder, and the pressure gets more and more as the last few rounds start rounding up in the NRL 2027 season. So some, interesting games to look forward to this weekend in round 22. We will review them games on Monday, Nijin Footy. And if you want to hear any of these games, you can hear them live on ABC Radio Australia. Sammy, and other rugby league news, Laurie Daly, he's officially announced that he won't be coaching New South Wales.
He's gone out of champion.
State of Origin.
Good on him.
Next year. So it's been reported that the favourites they have down in Boyd Cordner and Matt King, they were both the assistants of this year's camp. Who do you think would be a good option to coach the State of Origin team, New South Wales,
mate,
next year?
Those two names would be amazing.
And when you look at, you know, the previous coaches or coaches of the State of Origin team, you know, there have been some rugby league legends or coaches that have had success as NRL coaches. Now, we just look at, you know, you had Laurie Daly there. Michael Maguire, he just got off the back of winning the, I think it was the winning for New Zealand, the Pack Champs.
Yeah, Pack Champs, yeah.
And then he also, you know, won with South Sydney Rabbitohs. So, established rugby league NRL coach. You had Brad Fittler, Craig Bellamy, Ricky Stewart, Wayne Pearce.
Who would you take if
personally?
Personally.
Boyd Cordner.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout.
And only not because I got to play with him and I know him personally, but after chatting, he understands how to be a leader. he understands, he's been there, New South Wales Rugby League, so he understands the environment. He understands what it takes to win. He's very dedicated to his craft, but I know he loves the game as well.
Yeah.
And after speaking to him a few weeks ago at the Sydney Old Boys gathering, he said that this would be a dream of his to be able to, one, coach New South Wales, but also be an NRL coach. So
Man. There's
not many people in this world where they have the achievements that he already has, but that hunger, desire, that love for coaching.
Out of all the names you've said, I think he would be an amazing coach. And, mate, how good was his running lines? Like, he hit the line. Like, he was one of my favorite players to watch on an edge.
His work ethic, man. Oh. He could get through some work. The way that he trained, he was a big body at such a young age as well. And a lot of times when you're a big kid, you rely on your size.
Yep.
Not Boydy. Boydy kept building on his skills. He kept adding tools, and the leadership that he ended up developing under some great leaders in Anthony Minicello, Braith and Nesta when he was at the club. He got to take in all of that and then ended up leading and winning a competition with the Sydney Roosters or two himself. So Boydy would be my pick. But that's me for rugby league, Sammy. Let's, before we get to Salatonga Tuki, but let's shift over to some rugby union.
Hi, my name is Mata Mata Ele and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
Yes, T, I think you've already said that's a lot of my mates are going to be doing the heavy lifting for me for rugby union, but that's okay. We are one team, one dream. But we do have a little bit of news here around Samoa and their future within world rugby. And, I just can't believe we're still having these type of conversations now in this day and age, you know, around governance and the ongoing uncertainty around funding and all this type of stuff. But it's been reported that Samoa could be facing a 4-year ban from international rugby, with World Rugby giving Samoa government until today. So on Friday today to reconsider its decision to withdraw recognition and funding from Lakupi Samoa. So the government has been... the politics have been running Manu Samoa for a very long time, and there's funding from the Australian government, like PNG, where it's going over to the Pacific Islands. And so Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, they're part of this. So if there's a split, there's supposed to be a new governing body that wants to be recognised. And a lot of them, I believe they're all past players. They want to separate, you know, from politics and have their own new board and new rugby Samoa there. But the government doesn't want to give up its power because there's a lot of funding coming into that.
And then they have the authority on where that funding will go. Where the Australian government is giving the funding to the Samoan Rugby Union.
So Rugby Australian.
To fund Samoa Rugby Union. And the Samoa government wants to remain where they receive it, and then they'll allocate.
Yeah, they'll allocate where it needs to go. So this new board wants that to change. Now World Rugby have stepped in and are reviewing everything. There's supposed to be some pretty heavy discussions that will be going on, because if they don't come to an agreement, World Rugby will just go, you guys are out.
So it'd be like having a PNG politician as Michael Chalmers.
Yes, it would be like that, yeah. It would be like the Prime Minister being Michael Chalmers over there with the Chiefs. So that would be the comparison. Whatever's going on, look, again, like I don't know, you know, around funding and all that, where it all goes and what happens, but it's just sort of like egos need to be put aside to do what's best for Manu Samoa rugby. That's what has to be done. The women's and the men's program, and then the pathway system that needs to come through to be able to feed into those teams to be competitive at a World Cup, because there's no such thing as a Rugby World Cup without our Pacific Island teams. It's not the same. And then we've already lost Moana Pacifica and Super Rugby, where that was a pathway, you know, for players to be able to go. We can't be in this situation right now and say that there could be potentially no Manu Samoa in the Pacific Nations Cup or in the PNC or in the World Cup. Like, surely there's got to be a solution here where common sense does prevail and we get an outcome that's deserved for the people to be able to understand and go, okay, I'm going to get behind our team here because they're going to move forward and they're going to represent our families and our country with a lot of pride and passion. So we'll look to try and get someone on Monday. Hopefully we can get someone on Monday, a representative, to be able to probably discuss in depth and hopefully discuss what happened and the outcome that, that happened from today. But yeah, man, I hope it gets resolved soon, bro, because it'll be a sad day if this doesn't go the way that we want it to go with Samoa not being in World Rugby anymore. But anyway, T, that's us for rugby until we get over to NEMS. Where are we shifting to next?
We are off to our good friend Sala Tongatuki to talk all things women's NRLW. Well, seeing as you brought in some experts to do your work for you, Sammy, let's go over to Pat Cowan and catch up with him. The what's his role? The
Manu
scrum
Samoa
coach.
Manu Samoa forwards coach. Yes,
yeah, Manu
yes.
Samoa forwards coach Pat Cowan.
Well, T, again, no test rugby on this weekend, so I've called in another big gun. Last week we had Toto Gefu on. He shared some. What did he share about his team getting relegated from second div to third div over in Japan? So he came out the gate with that one. And now we have another good friend of mine, Pekaho James Morikawan, former Wallaby. Played a lot of rugby with him at the Western Force. He's been on the show before. And now he is the Manu Samoa forwards coach for the recent Nations Cup that just unfolded. So he joins us now. Peka, good to see you again, brother.
G'day, gentlemen. Great to be here.
Firstly, I'll go to Sam. Mate, are you paying these fellas? I hope you're paying part of your salary do your work. You've got him in to talk your rugby union, your space here.
This is what relationships are all about. You know, we've built this over a long period of time where I can call in a favour because it's a two-way street, Apec.
Absolutely. And it's a really interesting point that you make, YC, because that's essentially how this role came up for me was, connecting with the right people, opportunity came up and you know, the opportunity came to me. So,
talking about the way you got the forwards coach for Samoa. Yeah, obviously not Samoa, proud Cook Islander, Māori, and this just came, through an organic conversation somewhere?
Yeah, so a little while ago, I think a couple of years ago now, myself and a few other guys got the opportunity to don the classic All Blacks jumper, and we actually played a test in Spain. But it was actually a live test where we had to actually play. So there was a bunch of guys like myself who kind of recently retired and can still play. And by chance, Census Johnson was another prop who was currently doing the scrum coaching role that I've been offered. So himself and me, we didn't play for the All Blacks. We were kind of both in the same boat, but we had a pretty common interest, which was scrum time, our opinions on it, and a lot of that aligned, funnily enough. So I think when Census was focusing a little bit more on the women's super rugby here, in New Zealand with Auckland, and I think they've just won the comp. He wasn't able to go on this most recent tour. So because of that relationship and that kind of time that we spent together, that's where he reached out and offered me the opportunity. So that's kind of how that all came about. It wasn't necessarily what I knew, it was more who I knew. But with 17 years of playing experience and a couple of years of coaching full time as well and player coaching, I was more than capable. It was just sometimes these opportunities come up when you least expect them.
Yeah, talk us through the experience and being with Manu Samoa with Cook Island background. What's this experience been like for yourself?
Oh, it was really eye-opening, actually. When I think of a foundation to be able to create amazing success, that was the first thing that I saw, culture is front and center and it is unapologetic. It's incredibly powerful. And for someone like myself who, like you guys have alluded to, I'm not of Samoan heritage. However, a lot of what they did, their protocols or tikanga, as we say in Māori, aligned massively. Everything from lotu, which was, just daily services, the way that they connected as a group, culturally, the way they trained and the things they prioritize are completely different to what I've experienced in Australia and even in Japan. So in that sense, I just got a huge amount, I guess, an eye-opening view of the values and how that can actually drive success. I guess the challenge was access to players initially, but come November, I believe there'll be a lot more players available. So the hope is we get your likes of like your Scott Sears, for example, who have reached out to say, you know, they're really hoping to be available for that November tour. So, yeah, I just thought it was amazing. Even to the small things, like, for example, the Supertel that they do in-game and test matches, they actually do it at captain's run to the staff and for the guys, for the group that who basically to thank you for the week of prep that you've given them. So, again, that was something I've never experienced before. Jersey presentations are done differently, and it's just done so authentically that you really felt what it meant to, I guess, wear the jumper, to represent your culture, and do it in a way that's authentically you. I thought it was so powerful, and I was just incredibly honoured to be within that circle.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, what about, you know, planning the week as well, getting that balance right? I know that you're very detailed around how you want to present and especially around scrum time. You know, how did you get that balance right, you know, fitting everything with you need to do, but also, oh, I might need to take a step back here because we have something on and around our culture or anything like that?
Yeah, I think in terms of the high performance, it was great as well. Like being able to implement what you wanted, the buy-in from the players, because it's not like they're trying to add things. When you think of a different program, for example, let's just use, I don't know, the Western Force, for example. If you were trying to implement these things, it would take time away from what people thought they needed to spend time on. But on the flip side of that, this is normal. So in terms of your preparation, in terms of your detail, in terms of the time that you need and the time that you want, that is an addition that they're happy to have. And that's where I felt like, wow, like they've got the balance right. Players expected that they were to do, you know, their laundry. They were expected to connect on and off the field. And there was never a time where players felt it was too much. Their biggest thing, especially within camp, that I noticed was vulnerability. So putting yourself in a vulnerable position where you might have to do something that you're not comfortable doing. However, you're in such a safe space that players, staff felt empowered to do that. And the more vulnerable you could be, the more it felt like you would be able to get out of the group. So in terms of the high performance and the planning, the scheduling, it was all, I thought it was all done incredibly well, considering there's a whole lot of other culture and time set aside for culture, connection, and values.
With your time with the Manu Samoa, you know, in your opinion, what do you think is the nation's biggest strength?
The nation's biggest strength is definitely faith, I believe, because that is one common thing that absolutely everyone is connected by, driven by. And through adversity, through challenges, through ups and downs, through winning and losing, they always bring themselves, and I guess in te ao Māori we call it noa, which is bringing yourself back to level, back to calm, back to acceptance, and they do that through faith, which I think is incredibly powerful and motivating at the same time, because there's less about self and more about I guess, serving and wanting to be better and accepting what may not have been what we trained for, but trusting that it's all part of the journey.
Couple more questions, my bro. Keen to know what game day was like with the Civitao, and then I seen you there proudly in the line when the anthem was playing. Like, what was that like for you? Obviously not, again, not Samoan heritage, but, man, you looked like you fit in so well standing there with all the boys.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, for example, again, you'd never get the opportunity to sit in front of the haka, for example, on game day. However, because I was running water, running messages as well, there was about three or so staff, doctors, physios, and the two people running water. We would sit in behind and they would perform the Supertail before, you know, before, and then they would come in, obviously grab water and stuff. So that in itself was another experience that I'd never had before. And even so much so to the point of the bus trip, you know, the bus trip had music, it had laughter, people were connected, and it, although it is a serious moment, their version of dealing with that stress and the anxiety and the pressure was actually in unity. So they never changed who they were, irrespective of whether they were going, we were going to training or going to a test match. The music is pumping. We're walking out of the bus collectively together. Everyone's grabbing everything, whether you're starting, whether you're a double D, whether you're management, head coach, whoever you were grabbing everything that was required, and off you went to the change rooms. And that buzz carried all the way through to the end of the game. So again, it was a different way to do it, but so empowering. And again, like I said, just an honor for me to experience that and actually go, hey, there's so many ways that you can get the best out of your players. And if anything, it showed that culturally, if you can connect with players on that level and give them the thing that they do naturally, and the way in which they deal with stress and anxiety and pressure, and you create it in an organic way, players go out and operate the best they can. Like, I think one of the biggest things they were saying a lot throughout camp is a happy Samoan is a dangerous Samoan, because when they're happy, when their family's good, when they're in a good space, when, you know, training was good, they're dangerous, you know, because they can just go out there and perform. So there's absolute method to that. And drawing on that was pretty cool as well.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because that was going to be my other question. I was just thinking of guys like some coaches that we've had in the past at the Force where, man, it was turn the music off, you're not serious, this is what high performance and preparation looks like, what you're doing, if you're laughing, you're not serious. So, like, did that take you time to get used to it, or did you feel like, I feel like I belong here, like I wish we had this when we were playing?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, right? Because obviously, yeah, coming from a different system, it was, you know, I was very good at my own process. And naturally, you get taught that, hey, man, if you're laughing, if you're mucking around, if you're joking, you're not in the moment. However, what I've seen is the flip side of that, and players actually being able to translate that into positive performances. And if anything, it has just opened my eyes to, hey, there are so many different ways to do things. And I think a great mixture of both would really serve teams well, because when you actually think about a lot of teams, there's a huge percentage of Pacifica, whether they're Tongan, Fijian, Samoan, Cook Islander, you know, all Pacific cultures, and actually a lot of the values are very, very similar. So there's a lot to be learnt there, absolutely.
Oh, man, love your insights, bro. Really appreciate your time. Are you going to be on the next junket as well in November?
Hopefully? Yeah, fingers crossed. I think when I think about that, I've obviously got a lot going on at home, so yep. I'm quite busy here. But if the opportunity comes up, I do have time to be able to execute and jump in with that as well. That's conversations that, I guess, and that's a challenge as well, right? With Samoan rugby, no one's full-time.
Yeah.
So PC, for example, is still coaching full-time at Toyota Shoki. You know, same with other coaches. They're actually over in Japan or in Europe or whatever, and then they bring themselves together. So that's another challenge in itself. But on principle, absolutely, I would be available. The nice. Choice is this.
Well, hopefully they get all the other stuff sorted off field, and then it's smooth sailing into the Nations Cup, and we get to see you in November again. But Pekka, really appreciate your time, brother. It's always good to see you. Hopefully we connect again soon in the flesh. But until then, man, much love, and much love to the fam.
Cheers, gents. Really appreciate it.
I'm John Wilshire, team manager for the PNG Cornwalls, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Well, Sammy Sala Tonga Tuki is must be busy. So
no show.
No show.
Oh.
We're going to have a word with her next week.
Where's the comms?
We would have got our good friend Kiana Takairangi on, but hey, this is what we're made of. Pressure makes diamonds.
Yes. And yeah, we're good to go.
I will be covering the NRLW today. So preview of round 5 this weekend. I think there's a huge match. You know what? The reason why Sala probably isn't on is because she is playing the Sharkies tomorrow and she's probably in the middle of her captain's run. So
that is very true.
Sharkies will be taking on the West Tigers tomorrow. Straight after that game, we have the Dragons versus the Roosters. The Roosters looking very dangerous. And then there are 3 games tomorrow. The Raiders will be taking on the Cowboys. Then on Sunday, we have the Bulldogs versus the Broncos, the Warriors versus the Titans, and the Eels versus the Knights. Now, just taking a look at the NRLW ladder, the Broncos, they sit on top undefeated at first place with their only just because the Roosters are also undefeated, but the Broncos have the lead on for and against. And then the Titans have... after their round 1 loss, they are sitting 3rd with only...
That's huge for the Titans.
It is huge from the... I think their union player is doing really well.
Yeah, that's Tegan Levi in the halves. So, yeah, she's connecting well with Lauren Brown. But just to go back to the Tigers and the Sharks, I was hoping to see Tiana Benatani-Gray's name in the team. I think she's still... she has a bit of a quad injury at the moment. She's stuck on 49 caps.
So she needs one more for the
50th because there's plenty of players at the moment making their 50th appearance. And I just keep looking. I was like, man, when is she actually on to be able to raise the bat to the half century? But yep, still not there yet. Still not there.
And then Sala, speaking of 50th, she played her 50th NRLW match, which we've mentioned a few times now, but I'm going to stop mentioning it because she hasn't joined us today. But the West Tigers are sitting 8th with 2 wins. And then we've got 2 teams who are yet to win a game. We've got the Parramatta Eels and the Cowboys at the bottom of the ladder. But this is round 5. We will update everyone on Nijan Footy on Monday with Shelley Long.
Yep.
With the long story short. So stay tuned, and next we will be heading to...
Where are we going?
Nemani Nondolo Kurunjai.
I'm glad you're all over it, because I've got no idea. Thanks, Brass.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurunjai.
Sweet as, let's welcome back our former Flying Fijian, the man that has got many polo shirts, Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani Bulavanaka Dolavina, my friend. That's a nice drill one you have on.
Thanks, boys. Bulavanaka, yes, I've got your sizes, boys. Don't worry, I managed to make friends with the kit men here, so I've got some polo shirts. Just got to get it across to you guys. Times are tough over here, but we'll get it to Sydney. We'll get it there.
Oh, beautiful. I need a new golf polo.
Yes, I'm keen for one too. Mine's shrunk, so I need a new one, bro. Appreciate it.
I've got polo shirts for you, boys.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that. But hey, let's recap on the Fijian Rural Women after last week. Absolutely devastated for the ladies, and we're talking about on Monday. Just hearing Bitila Tawake trying to get her words out after the game, tears flowing. Like, how was it for you there? Because I know you were commentating on that one.
Yeah, look, it was disappointing and it was sad. You know, the for the result to not go the women's, you know, the Drua's way. You know, they'd work extremely hard over the throughout the season, and you know, you could just see it in the skipper's voice when she, you know, I think there was a few people in the crowd with onions in their hands because, you know, they could feel the, you know, the disappointment with it because, you know, it's been a big week. It was a big crowd for the girls and, you know, it was just a big occasion. And, they were gutted. They couldn't deliver. But, you know, I think what we keep reminding them is they've done the country proud and against arguably, the best team in the comp for the last 10 years.
Talk us through the experience. You know, down at the grounds and, you know, the crowd, the game and the ebbs and flows of how the game went. Talk us through the atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere was amazing. It was, guys were already coming in, they were dancing, and it's just a different vibe when the women's play. It's almost like a party. Like, yeah, you know, when the men's play, it's sort of like there's a bit of that seriousness and nervousness. But every home game that I've been to when the Drua women's play, literally, like, it's like a nightclub. Like, guys are dancing, young and old, you know, the music's going. Shane Hussein did a really good job. He was on MC, on mic, and, you know, that, like, it was a perfect day of rugby. You would have thought that everyone was on the beers, but, man, they were just so proud of the girls and just dancing throughout the whole 80 minutes. Even though the result didn't go away, they just kept cheering for our girls. And that was an amazing sight. You know, it was awesome to see that. You know, despite the loss, it just goes to show the true colours of, you know, the Fijian people. They were just a happy bunch. And it was despite the scoreline and not getting the trophy, I think, I know it's cliche as it sounds, rugby was the winner on the day.
Well, I did hear the noise come through the TV, like when the Drua women were making those line breaks and they're creating those opportunities early on, but just couldn't quite convert. So the crowd were on their feet, and I thought, oh, this is going to happen here. They're going to get over, but it just didn't quite come. Yeah, what do you think you put that down to? Just not being able to probably replicate what they did the week before when they made the most of their opportunities compared to, you know, against the Tars?
Yeah, look, I think they got away with it against the Reds and the Force and the Brumbies. The Tars, you know, we've got to compliment the Tars. They were really good in the sense that they're a team that knows how to hustle, you know, on turnovers. They're quick to get back on their feet. And you know, they'd really done their homework on the girls, on our girls. And, you know, like, we like to play broken rugby. And I just thought the Tars did that really well and just couldn't. You know, every time they get half a break, the Tars were straight into position. And, you know, I think that was which made it hard for the Drua girls then to do it. And then obviously with that pressure, as you know, boys, it's a decision making and, you know, but also too, like I would also put it down to the occasion. Like it was massive week, man, here, you know, for the girls as historically never been done before, have a grand final here, the vibe. So there was a lot of factors that went into it, but, you know, you got to credit the Tars when the girls thought were they going to get up and, to get, you know, with a crowd behind them, they did really well to sort of suffocate, you know, any sort of momentum that the Drua tried to build.
Now, like you said, I think when you look at the occasion, the event, having a Super W Grand Final in Fiji, Rugby Union is the winner on that weekend. While you were talking there, I had this light bulb moment and you didn't give us some news that we found out on Monday.
That's right.
Yes. Did you remember? Did you forget this one?
Yeah, I did forget this one because I thought, oh, we would have talked about it before, so I just brushed it aside. And I know where you're going with this.
So where's our Sammy gave the good news, and I was like, this should have come from our good friend Nems about the new Drua, the new Drua head coach.
What happened to the exclusive?
Yeah, Nems? What happened here, mate? Talk us through it.
Boys, you know what? I'm just as disappointed as you guys. We're on the same page here, and I'm really disappointed as well, boys. So, you know, it's not a – I don't think it's a me problem. I think it's a them problem. And I did speak to our guys. I said, listen, Friday, I don't want you guys to announce it. I've got something important to announce. And, you know, sometimes, guys, we don't get the bounce of the ball that come our way. So as a unit, as the three of us, we've got a bit disappointed. But as you can see, I'm wearing a polo shirt today. It's Friday. It's usually Mufti Day. But Brad Moore's in the building. So
is he actually there? Is he there?
Yeah, he's here.
Call him in. Okay, mate, can we get an exclusive now?
Yeah, well, he's doing he's upstairs doing media with the actual media group, and I'm downstairs.
Oh, what are we, the fake media?
Oh, we're the fake media. We're fake news, are we?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? Again, boys, I'm disappointed. You know, they treat us like we're the fake media, but we're not. We're a team. We are
the people's media.
We are the people's media.
The Pacific people's media. That's who we
are. And I'm starting to get the vibe from you two that I'm not part of this. So I am. I'm disappointed as just as much as you guys are.
Wow.
We are a team, boys.
No, we are a team. We definitely are a team. Thank you. You didn't want – you brushed me how many times when I wanted interviews before, previously – well, let's go back a couple of years. You brushed
me. No. They and stick now, on Brad. This is about Brad Moore.
Nah,
Brad Moore.
I let's go back to Brad guy. Moore.
I reckon.
Yeah. I reckon Sammy, you're probably, you know, I think you're talking. I hope you're all right. It's been a tough week for all of us. But like I said,
all right,
we are
disappointed.
Get exclusive.
What are the chances?
So we are a team, boys.
Okay, what are the chances? So, what are the chances you could link us up with the interview with Brad Moore, the new head coach of the Fijian Drawer?
100%. We can do it next. Let's do it. Let me work my magic. You know,
can we do it as a three way here? Like, you know, you're in it as well. Yeah. So like we're it's like a forum.
Is there any union next Friday? Can we get him on next Friday?
Oh, don't worry. It's just the All Blacks going to South Africa for a historic tour. Don't worry about that one. We'll talk about the Fiji.
Would you guys be keen if I work my magic?
Oh, 100%.
And I get a Zoom call?
Yes. Do Fijians drink kava?
That is the gold we've been waiting for.
Something.
That's the value that we've been waiting for. Now we're a team.
Now we're talking. Now we're vibing. We're cohesive within our approach. Now we're on. But okay, let's get that one sorted for next week. Please, Nems. Honestly, let's get that one.
Honestly, I'll do it. Right. First thing I'm going to say is, how's the family? That goes a long way.
That goes a long way with him. Do they need to be settled in Fiji? And then after that, then you go, hey, do you mind coming in on our show? But another bit of good news out of the Drawer, some more development players being signed. I saw your post again. Who is he, and I guess what position is he, and you know, how do you think he's going to go?
Yeah, so he's another exciting player coming out of the Skipper Cup. His name's Sakusa Vosiava. So he's a police by day, police officer by day, and you know, part time. Obviously, here it's rugby, he's not professional, but he's been playing really well. He's a captain of the Nundrunga provincial side. And he played a few games for us. And, you know, like being, you know, part of the development, you know, being a development coach and stuff, and my biggest emphasis is, yes, overseas players, but we really want to make sure that we want to get a look into our local guys. And you'll see our development squad a bit different this year. We've really honed in on our local guys who are coming through the pathways and HPU. And he's someone that, you know, I see playing Super Rugby in the next 24 months, but still got a long way to go. But his work rate, his knack for wanting to get better, and just he's not that big, but man, he just goes. You know, solid tackler. He's everything you want from a seven. And mate, he's a natural born leader. He's a captain of the Nundrunga team. He was captain of the Skipper Select side that played against Drew in the trial game earlier. And it was a no-brainer. So we have to write a letter to the Commissioner of Fiji Police to see if he can release, if he can get released. So
that's unreal. But and you said 80% now, the Drawer squad from Fiji.
Oh, mate, yeah, so 85% of our players, you know, a lot of talk more so around in Fiji is that, you know, Drawer is seen as a team that imports, you know, guys. Yes, we do get foreign Fijians to come in, but you know, 85%, over 80% of our players have come through the age group here. And I just wanted to clarify that on if anyone ever asked me, because we do, you know, if you think about squads, only seven of our guys come from Australia or New Zealand. So you know, and that's what we want to build on. That we want to get more guys, and as you know, with Super Rugby and coming from international, from, you know, from provincial here, it's a big step. So you do need a mixture of both. So yeah, it's good to see we continue to add and you know, grow with the local talent. And this is a genuine pathway for our Fijian men and women.
Man, last week we had Joe Grimer, I think it was last week or the week before, we had Joe Grimer on. He's doing pathways in PNG for rugby league. He's doing God's work over there. Nems, you're doing the same in Fiji, mate. You're absolutely flying over there. Forget what I said earlier about when you brush me. Let's move forward. And I love what you're doing. You're in the space where you belong. And keep flying that flag, brother, because we want to see more of the Fijian talent coming through those systems. But before we wrap it up, any other news? Anything else happening?
I just read in the newspaper about the stuff around Samoan rugby.
Yep.
You know, look, if it goes down that road where they're going to get a 4-year ban, man. That is going to be collateral. That's going to be damaging for Samoa rugby. It's going to, I think, but if that happens, it's going to send them back to the to the dark ages or the back of the days, because it's, I haven't read too much into it, but I've just saw that the government's pulling out support, and you know, there's a lot of politics and whatnot. You know, yes, this is a problem with rugby, like politics. When politics and all that get involved, our players and our men and women will suffer. And if that happens, man, you know, I just hope they come to a conclusion, because we need Samoa, we need Tonga, we need all these islands. We need all these islands in the South Pacific, not just Fiji, to be there at these World Cups. This is what World Cup's all about. Imagine Samoa 100%. Not playing in Australia.
Oh, no, I can't think of a World Cup without Samoa being in there. No way. It doesn't sit well, doesn't sit right. So hopefully you're right, common sense prevails and goes, mate, at the end of the day, there's something bigger than just everyone's egos. Like, let's get it sorted.
Ego,
yeah, let's get it sorted.
It's
and
ego.
Move
down
on.
To ego.
Yeah.
And you know, with the world stage next year, with World Cup in Australia, where predominantly a lot of our Samoan people live, man, it'll be a travesty if we don't see our brothers from the Manu Samoa competing at the World Cup next year, man.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Let's hopefully we get a result at the end of today, and we can talk positively about the news on Monday on Nijin Footy. But Nams, really appreciate your time, brother. Thanks for sharing all the good news. And please, your homework for this week is for next week.
Brad Moore interview next week. And just remember, boys, it's us against the world.
Okay? Yes, we're a team. Yes, yeah. One another.
So when you're disappointed, Nems is disappointed here too.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go play golf. Enjoy your
Friday. Hit him well, mate. Hit him well.
Later, Brass.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Smoke.
All right, Sammy, time for Lock and Smoke, our game of our tipping competition.
You were going to say our game of categories.
I was going to say that, but I'm winning that as well. So the Lock is a game where you'll pick a game or a team that is most likely to win, and a Smoke is the unfavorite of that game. And then we keep a score. At the end of the year, the loser has to buy the winner a feed. I am winning 23 points to you. Your 18.
Oh, we got one each last
both
week.
Both of us got one each. You got your Smokey, the Bulldogs beating the Warriors.
Yes.
But the Drua, they let you down.
That's
the Fijian Drua.
That's all good.
The Raiders,
go again this week.
The Raiders are very dominant for me with the win over the Tigers last week. And I went the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough smokey.
So anyway, I won't be doing that again.
not doing that one again.
Let's go to our lock-in. For my lock-in this weekend, I'm going to stick with NRLW, and I'm going to go with the Roosters to beat the Dragons.
You're just going to follow the Roosters and the
Broncos. No, I went against the Roosters last week.
That was for a smoke. Anyway, let's relax. Don't puff your chest around here, brother.
Go.
Okay.
We've got to wrap up the show.
I'm going to go to the Blues beating the Waratahs in the championship game between the winner of New Zealand, the Aupiki Super Rugby over there, and the winner of the Waratahs. So they actually play tomorrow at Leichhardt Oval for the overall champions.
Oh, so it's a Super W championship.
For New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to go the Blues to beat the Waratahs in that one as my lock.
You're going the New Zealand team to beat the Australian
team.
Yeah,
they're red hot, man. They're very good. All right. Very good. So that's my lock.
And then your Smokey, who are you going?
Smokey. Who is the Smokey? Who would be the Smokey out of the... Oh, man, I don't even know anymore. Who would be the Smokey in... Give me one, T, because I don't know.
I'll give you Storm versus Bulldogs. Storm the Smokey.
At home?
At home.
Are you going to give me that one?
I'll give you that one.
I'll take that. All right. I'll take that every day of the week. Thank you. You're very generous.
And I'll take the Dragons to beat the Dolphins.
Oh.
Do we go there?
That's tough areas, that one.
Do we go there, T?
What about Parrot Eels NRLW at home trying to get their first win against the Knights? No Yazzie.
Parramatta Eels?
Mm.
to beat the Tigers.
No, beat the Knights.
No, they're not beating Knights.
You don't reckon?
No, no. I'm going to go with the Dragons to beat the Dolphins. Ooh, in the NRL, which will be kicking off very shortly.
All right, T, that's us. That's us. What a show, T.
I know, mate. Man. Great day, great afternoon.
Well, you can
great
wrap us
Friday.
Up.
What?
Yeah, you wrap us up. Go for it.
Well, tell your you're an egg, bro. Ninja Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search Ninja Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great weekend. We'll see everyone on Monday.
Catch you Monday.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.